It's Wednesday, December 12th, and the Milwaukee Bucks coming at 18-8 after the victory over Cleveland on Monday. There's a lot going on with this team right now. What's up with Chris Middleton, the Giannis for MVP campaign, and they made a pretty big trade over the weekend. Over to the Packers, there's still a slight chance they can make the postseason. Will it happen? In baseball, the winter meetings are going on right now, and a lot of rumors flying around about the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at MitchRossMKE, and that's NoTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Episode 316. Said I just kicked your ass. All right, Mitch on the ones and twos. Charlie are with you.
I get it.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yep.
Yes, sir. I already know what Mitch is doing. He's a little under the weather, folks. He ruined that for me. Telling me he's like, I got a little bit of a cold, which my cords.
I'm doing all right.
Cords are sore a little bit as well. It happens when you go out to Duke's, and you're shouting amongst the Marquette faithful, and then you're shouting at Lambeau Field, and then you just do podcasts all week. No rest for the wicked, man.
Isn't that the truth?
No doubt.
I forgot you went to the game.
Yeah, dude. It was a good time. It was a fun, you know, to be honest, like, people make a big deal about December football, and you just, if you hit the elements all right, it really isn't that bad. Like, you guys were in the group chat, and you told me, you're like, it's really cold. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of chilly, but it's like, I was bundled up. It was 27.
Were you sitting in the sun?
I was. But I had sunglasses, too, which were probably my most useful thing I had on me, because I was looking right directly into the sun for most of the third and fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So, and this,
you know, I was talking that out with somebody on Monday.
Yeah.
But I like, yeah, you'd have to pay me to go to a game at Lambeau.
Yeah.
Then I thought, I was like, you know, a noon game probably isn't that bad because the sun's out if you're lucky.
Yeah.
It's just when you get to the afternoon and night games.
No, yeah. No way.
Because a noon game's not terrible because you're probably not tailgating for 3 hours.
No. Nope.
I mean, before a game, unless you're, you know, live in Green Bay or,
right,
you know,
exactly,
really psychotic.
Yep.
And, you know, leave at 6 a.m. or something.
Sure.
So you're not frozen when you go in like you are for like a 3 o'clock game.
Yes.
Because you're probably getting there at noon, 1 o'clock, tailgating for certainly a couple hours. And numb when you even walk in.
Yeah,
that's where I got in trouble.
The 3 o'clock. Well, yeah, and you're now banned from coming to a December game because you were such a cranky human.
Yeah, that's fine.
And you've officially made.
Don't
the
ask
list.
Me.
We're not. You're off the list. But good. Anyways, I will say we stayed till the end because our friend Eric had the over, so he was making sure that cleared with the last Atlanta touchdown. And so we stayed, and the sun,
oh, yeah.
And the sun finally peaked below the stadium right at the very end of the game, and then it was cold. And then we actually it was more cold in the concourse than it was actually inside the stadium when we were like getting out. But it wasn't too bad. We got out of there, saw our other good friend Patrick for a little bit, and then made it on back. So yeah, happy to be back. I'm excited to talk today about the Bucks, the Brewers, and the Packers. All three, I feel, are worth topics. It's a fun little time right before the holidays. Winter meetings going on. How didn't we not get to Vegas? That would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think the reports...
I didn't even know where they were until they started.
The reports we could have done from Sapphires would have been probably legendary in terms of who we saw there. You know, the
interesting that they're at Mandalay Bay, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
right?
Isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah, I think I
can't help but think about it.
You know
what?
That's crazy. You put that together. So for those who didn't put it together, I just did now. That was where the shooting happened. What, in March was that?
And that was October.
October?
October
no,
1st.
Last October.
Correct.
Last October.
October 1st, 2017.
2017, yes. All right. So, because I wasn't living at my place now. I remember, actually, weirdly, I was up late that night and saw everything happening, and it was
Sunday night. I was probably asleep for 2 hours.
And it had just started, and then things were going on, but we didn't know. And then you woke up in the morning and saw the news. It was just terrible. And so, yeah, you're right. That's interesting that it's there. So, but how do we not snake ourselves to winter meetings in Vegas? Would have been nice.
Would have helped to have known. That's all I'm saying. I mean, if I would have looked into it, I mean, that's kind of a, I was thinking that would be a cool thing to cover once before I,
yeah, sure,
you know, retire.
Absolutely. I mean, it's also, I've heard just like how the NFL Combine is a great place to do connections for NFL.
Winter meetings
is a great place to just do networking.
Yeah, and it's a great way for a young journalist to come through. And, you know, but I'm not enough of a schmoozer to really make a big footprint there.
Oh, we could make you into one. Yeah. But on to the Milwaukee Bucks. Definitely the music is worth it. The Bucks are playing pretty well. I wouldn't say that they're playing great.
Well,
but
yeah, and it's funny because I had a resident Minnesota sports fan ask me the other night. He goes, "Are they still sucking?" And I was like,
"Oh my god,
not really sucking, dude. Are you looking at the, have you looked at the standings? I mean, they've played 500 ball the last couple of weeks.
Sure, but they've had a really tough stretch, and now you look at the next 11, which I'll pull up later. They have some opportunities here, and they're 18-8. They're one of the best teams in the NBA.
Yep.
And they've beat the Raptors twice, once with Kawhi, once without Kawhi. And yeah, the Warriors
once here and once there.
And the Warriors reminded them that they're still their daddies, like they're still the leader of the pack. Mm-hmm. No question about it. That message was sent loud and clear on Friday.
Somebody was like, one of my close friends was like, "Well, I don't know if we're gonna get their best shot."
I felt no. I didn't.
He's like, "Are you kidding me?" At least defensively, we got it.
I bet the Bucks that night. I don't usually bet the Bucks. Every now and again, I do, but I try to avoid betting on my teams. I don't bet against my teams. It's just not something I do. It's a personal, just sort of.
Well, I mean, you're kind of a special psycho if you bet against your teams.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. It's another conversation for another time. But the thing is,
like, are you that much of a
degenerate? I feel like
degenerate and also a pessimistic person.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we'll get to pessimism with Packer fans in a little bit here. But the fact that
if there's anybody that would bet against their team, it's probably me.
Yeah. But you, I don't think you would do that.
But I don't think I would either, and I'm not really a gambler, so it's apples and oranges. But
the thing is like, why make yourself mad if your team wins? If your team wins, like, remember we had talked about the Detroit line last week. We were like, they're an 8.5-point favorite. We're like, that's wild, because they weren't playing that well, and Detroit had been kind of hot, and they blew out Detroit, and like, that's the exact reason. Did I think the Bucks would cover an 8.5-point spread last week? No. But did they easily? Yeah.
Yes. Surprisingly,
you're right. And so,
excuse me.
So no worries. The Bucks have really done a good job in the last few. They've done well against the Eastern Conference. They've really done well against the top echelon teams in the West and East. They're now, I think, 8-2, counting the Warriors' loss and the Raptors' win. They go 2-1 in that week, and it's a decent. I think that people are starting to pay a little more attention because we're getting to that Christmas season where I feel like Christmas is a place where people start giving a shit. I think the fact that
I've heard that pinheady take that like they should just start the NBA season around Christmas.
That's dumb, but I agree. It's kind of like baseball.
They did that for in the strike shortened season.
Right. But it doesn't give you a good sample size with your team. And I think when it's like Christmas really matters. There's a couple of reasons for that point of that, and now it's kind of deconstructed. Think of it as like baseball, right? We say the same thing when Memorial Day comes around. Well, once Memorial Day hits, we can get a barometer on what this team really
Christmas
is.
Christmas Day is that kind of.
Exactly, right? Where we check in on that team and say, all right, here's where they are. And when the Bucks around Christmas last year, they were floundering. Everyone hated Jason Kidd. Everyone was out. And this year, it's looking like things are going to be good, and maybe potentially they could be the number one team in the East because
they're pacing for 56 or 57 wins right now.
Right, and they're also their defensive efficiency ratings and offensive are both top five. The teams that have been top five in both have easily won 55 games.
I gotta believe they're like by far number one in win margin too.
Yes,
or like point differential even.
I would be interested to look at that. Well, we'll get our stats department.
I've made
on
this
that.
Well known that their 6 of their 8 losses are by 4 points or less.
Right.
And probably 10 of their 18 wins are by 20 points or more.
It also warmed my heart to see the Raptors lose to the Nets in overtime on Friday night because it was like I just wanted to present that as evidence to every Bucks Twitter idiot
That's what I was going to say was like there's still this narrative that like can't beat the bad teams, or like we play down to the comp. And it's like, guys, we have one bad loss.
Yes, the Suns. That's it. Yeah. That and that he's
the Knicks.
Then sure,
but were, that one is not as bad as the Suns.
No, and because
the Suns was very much. I watched every dribble of that game. That Suns game, you watched it too.
Yeah,
they thought they were going to beat him. You could just tell that they thought that no matter what, they let him hang around. 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 And they lost.
And you can argue that that's good thing for a team to deal with. To get humbled like that is good. And they didn't get humbled by losing by 10 or 11.
And they've lost a lot of close games. They haven't lost back-to-back games yet.
Yes, that's crazy.
And they won a game that you could have seen was ripe for a letdown game without their star player.
Oh, yeah. Last night.
On Monday night.
Yeah, last night was so impressive. We're taping this Tuesday night. Last night was so impressive because I was really taken aback in a good way. Usually when you say taken aback, it's a bad thing. But I was like, I watched the first half at the gym, which is always nice to watch the Bucks at the gym. Great.
That game was brutal.
No, but when you're running, also,
turned it off for a few minutes.
Can I bitch a little bit about just a sidebar about FS Wisconsin? Guys, when the Bucks are wearing those yellow jerseys, you have to change the lower third from white. Because if it's yellow and white, if you don't have a good TV, it's unbearable. You can't really see how many points the Bucks have.
Oh, white. The white little score.
Yeah. You can't see it. You make it green. Do something. I don't know. Just a little nitpick there. But the fact is like Brogdon and Eric Bledsoe attacked the entire first and second quarter, and they didn't let Cleveland up for air. They didn't even let Cleveland think that they could win that game.
Well, Cleveland actually cut it to like 11 in the fourth quarter.
Right, but they didn't have a good bench mob to close it out. You're asking DJ Wilson and Sterling Brown. And I've liked what Sterling Brown has done. But
Connaughton mysteriously inactive coach's decision.
Yeah, he said
was Eric Bledsoe's birthday.
He said, I didn't know that.
On Sunday night.
Bud doesn't do well with hangovers, man. Bud has no time for you being hungover. It is.
I love it.
Hey, it's not Jim Boylan level.
As long as you win, the coach can do whatever they want.
Jim Boylan, what a fucking joke that guy is. Yeah. I don't want to get off a tangent, but that guy, oh my God. I can't believe anyone could defend him, what he's doing right now. I mean,
just a militaristic...
Just as long as the Bulls don't get Zion, RJ Barrett, or Cam Reddish,
they're getting one of those guys.
I know, and I don't want to talk about it. We're just going to... Just gonna let it go.
A long way to go before you have to worry about
exactly.
That.
So,
several years.
So the Bucks have something in front of them here where they can not only be the number one team in the East around Christmas time and a little bit after because they have a nice schedule, which I have up and I'm gonna run through it here in a second. But also you have the Raptors who are out west and Kawhi's not playing tonight. We're taping this Tuesday night. They're playing the Clippers. They don't play the Warriors tomorrow on Wednesday when this podcast goes live.
Well, yeah, they're running the gauntlet the Bucks had to do
exactly. And if the Raptors,
we'll see if the Raptors can do 2-2. The Bucks. Could have easily been probably 3-1 on that trip.
And we'll see what the narrative is if the Raptors, say, go 3-1 or 2-2, or if they go 1-3 or 0-4. So here's the Bucks.
I think the Raptors have a lot of pressure on them.
Totally. I think...
Because I think the national, the Isaiah Thomases of the world probably want to see them, it'll legitimize their, best record.
Totally. And so here's the Bucks schedule going forward. So you have this is the next, I think, you got Indiana.
At Indiana, it's a really hard game.
It's a tough game. Pacers are hot. They've won 4 straight. Oladipo could be back. He practiced Tuesday. He is questionable to play on Wednesday. So
make me punch a wall, Chuck.
Sorry. Could be back. Then you go to Cleveland.
I sneaky hate Victor Oladipo.
Why?
I don't know.
I love Victor Oladipo.
I think he's a great player. I think he's a good enough player.
Like, how do you hate Victor Oladipo? What has he done to you?
Kind of in the same way I kind of have a sneaky hate for Steph Curry.
Oh, interesting.
Because they're cocky.
Victor Oladipo? You think he's cocky?
Absolutely.
Ah, get the fuck out of here.
Curry, at this point, I can't be mad at him because he's a 2-time or 3-time MVP.
That's wild that you hate Victor Oladipo. That's an interesting
Again, I don't hate anyone, so no, hate's a strong word. But
easy, softy. It's fine. You can hate somebody. It's okay. I hate people.
I think Victor Oladipo is a pretty good singer.
I said on Daily Tap today or yesterday, I hate that Bleacher Nation. Fuck. It's fine. It's okay.
Well, I mean, I don't like people that are cocky.
Yeah, I know. Mitch has no time.
That don't back it up.
Mitch just loved Bobby Knight's teams throughout the years. Just all business and toughness and grit. Okay, so moving on. Indiana. Maybe you have to deal with Oladipo. That's a tough game. Then you go to Cleveland. Nice. Then you go to Detroit. That's tough. Detroit has been a good home team this year. Bucks never play well there for whatever reason. You then head home to play the Pelicans.
Well, they got unbelievably shit pumped in Detroit last year.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That one's fresh in our minds.
Yes.
But I'm not sure it's a house of horrors if you
No.
Recent, you know.
The Pelicans are at home, and that is tough because it's Anthony Davis, but they are an awful road team this year. You look at their road record, they are about 4-11.
I believe they're 500, right? Overall?
Yeah, and part of it is because they can't win on the road.
Yeah.
And then you go to Boston, and I'm missing potentially, and this is a weekend watch list for next week, I'm missing potentially one of the best nights in hoops because I have a holiday party next Friday night. Next Friday night, you have Marquette and Buffalo, which is a top 20 matchup at this juncture, and you have the Bucks and the Celtics. And I could have went to Marquette Buffalo for free, and now—
That is Friday. Okay, yep.
Yeah. So that sucks.
I was thinking that. They have another Boston one on Thursday night. That must be later in the year.
Yeah, but that's ESPN, though, still.
Yeah, okay.
So, and then they go, they have a three-game roadie with Miami, the Knicks, and the Knicks is the Christmas one where we'll wish everybody a Merry Christmas except for Mario Hezonja. And then back home to play the Knicks, back home to play Detroit, and then Atlanta. So you have a lot of winnable games, a lot of winnable games in that. In that stretch,
we're doing the Philly win streak stretch.
Yeah, I mean, you could conceivably get hot here, and if they are say 500 in the next month, that's about a month of games. Then I think there's reason to be. Are we sure they're that good?
Yeah,
because this is the point of the year where the Bucks need to separate themselves. The time is now to go on a run. Could they lose tomorrow, and you guys are going to laugh at me when you listen to this podcast? Yeah, because Indiana's good, but. At the same time, that there are a lot of winnable games, and you have to take advantage of those. And you can't necessarily let yourself get sort of in this, like, every win-loss. You got to get hot. You got to get kind of rolling here a little bit. Because I do think frustration will start setting in with Bucks fans and Bucks players alike if you're not just consistently stacking some wins.
Yeah,
got to stack some wins.
Especially with Toronto hitting like one of the toughest stretches of their season.
Exactly.
You're hoping to kind of maybe gain some ground, perhaps, God forbid, pass them, you know, and, you know, you're setting yourself up pretty well.
And Philly's in an interesting spot because you have Jimmy Butler left yesterday's game with a groin injury. You have Joel Embiid, who's kind of, I wouldn't say he's bitching, but he's not bitching. Apparently that was all dramatic and Embiid's like, I'm happy. But if there is lingering out there, if there's just a little bit of smoke, who knows?
So what's his problem? I don't think I've heard this.
He was upset about how the offense has been running with Jimmy Butler.
Oh.
But apparently it was a beat writer who made a...
there's some personalities there on that team.
I will say this. I saw some tweets that this beat writer might have a case of the Wolfolitis, where he might make things a little more dramatic than they actually are. So do you like that term, Wolfolitis?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I like that. I just brought that up. I'm going to keep that one. That's
exaggerating
a good one.
And making things.
Kind of like the Chris Middleton story. Because he was the one who said, you know, hey, Chris Middleton and the assistants had problems. And
he heard something from somebody.
Yeah, and John Horst pretty much shut him down today doing his rounds on the media circuit and was like, yeah, none of this happened.
Yeah. Well, and he can say whatever he wants, and I'll believe what I want to believe.
What do you believe? What side do you take? Do you take that there was an issue with Chris and they sent him home? Or?
I just know the facts, Charlie, that it was a very, very bad optics, and it was just very poor timing for him to have. And it just could have been that a mere coincidence that, you know, after he got benched, that he had something personal come out that he had to miss a game 3 days later.
I mean, yeah, I
don't know.
I know it's tough, right? We as fans,
I'm not, you know, it could be anything. I mean, it could be. I'm not saying he punched an assistant coach in the face and they're
all right.
You know, but it could have been, I don't know, you know, maybe he got, you know, turned up after the game or something. And I don't know. did something stupid.
Was late to practice. Was
late to a practice. That could have been what happened to Connaughton, too. I mean,
yeah.
It's, you know, I don't know. It could be anything. Yeah, like I said, he could have gotten in trouble.
Exactly. And I think, though, that Middleton, you know, he's an interesting guy because he's such a quiet individual.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
you can't get a read off him.
People are throwing out the whole, like, I've seen a lot of he's a partier, and it's just like, I don't buy that. I don't.
Listen, I have enough.
I know we all, yeah.
We have boots on the ground. Let's just put it that way. We have people who we talk to where I've heard about certain athletes who are habitual cocaine users in the clubs. I've heard stories about other athletes who hang out, as Chuck Mosley said on Twitter, one of the guys I follow, the Milwaukee club scene will never be the same with John Henson leaving.
I gotta follow that guy too.
Yeah, that's an amazing comment.
Well, and honestly, maybe that's why they traded Henson.
Well, and maybe it was because I thought Henson had been all right, but I'm sure.
But I mean, if he's not playing.
Okay, so that's an interesting theory, that Henson might have been a poison pill because he wasn't playing and he was just sort of leading these guys out and about.
Yeah.
And that
I don't think Henson's like a bad dude. I just think he's maybe has trouble separating right from wrong, let's just say.
Exactly. I mean, we saw what? I saw DJ Wilson out right before a game in late October. The Bucks had a game on Saturday and DJ Wilson was out just partying, living it up. I mean, that
Friday night?
It was a Friday night, right on Halloween weekend. So they had a game the next night and whatever. Yeah. I mean,
But I've always also maintained that, like, these dudes aren't going to a club and ripping shots like you and I do.
That's true.
I mean, they're hanging out, maybe having a beverage or two. I don't think it's, you know.
You're right.
I don't even think the hangovers really exist personally. This is kind of a convenient.
I think
I'll show you a hangover.
So I'd be really interesting. That would be, I wish somebody, and it would probably have to be like a guy like Simmons, to do like a podcast with an NBA guy. Like maybe he did a podcast with Charles Oakley that was fascinating, where Charles Oakley basically like opened the door to everything. And you have a conversation with an NBA athlete and you say, and MLB would actually be applicable too, and say, like, how real have you like pitched on a hangover? Have you played on a hangover? What is that like? What does that feel like? Because you're right. We don't have any hard, and I think it matters for other people. You know, some people, you know, hangovers don't matter. You're right. They go out enough. They stay up late.
Yeah.
I mean, there was these stats.
Well, that's the thing too, is these guys are night owls. They just are.
There's a stat about how like guys who were like late night tweeting had a decrease in points and assists, but it was only by like 2 or 3 points. It was minuscule. It wasn't. And everyone was like, oh, big deal. It's like, that's fucking.
Well, don't you have the Doobie McGee stat too?
The J.R. Smith. That's the legendary stat. So that's a long time.
It comes after like the big nightclub,
exactly.
The big nightlife cities.
How about Swaggy P going to speaking of shitheads? How about Swaggy P going to Denver? Swaggy's gonna be so high.
Oh yeah,
Swaggy's gonna be high the entire time he's in New York. He must be so happy. Like, he's gonna just have gummies on the sidelines. Like, that dude is gonna be fucking living it, man.
Oh, yeah.
Good for Swaggy. But to move back, I don't know. We'll see. So,
yeah, and that's stuff that you mentioned, Charles Oakley. I mean, I couldn't, you know, you find everything out 20 years later.
Right.
I mean, it'd be tough to probably find a current NBA player that's willing to talk about, like.
Exactly. You
know,
oh, yeah.
Oh, I saw, you know, Nick Young, Swaggy P, playing for the Lakers one time, you know. I don't know. Pick your craziest thing you can think of. Like, they're not going
He was out to the strip club till 6 a.m. And then they had practice around at 10.
Was doing lines off so-and-so's.
Doing bumps off her ass.
You're not going to get that.
You're not going to hear that.
Somehow rolled into, you know, shoot around.
Exactly.
Which somebody was telling me they don't do those anymore, hardly.
Only Jim Boylan.
Yeah.
Jim has his leadership.
The weird thing, like, I think it was actually Ryan Horvath told me that. He said he thought that Quinn Snyder from Utah stopped doing shoot-arounds on the road.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's like, don't you do shoot-arounds on the road?
To get comfortable in the gym?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, Jazz haven't been good this year. So,
and to avoid potential, you know, the road is
nefarious
where...
Nefarious activities.
Yeah, the road is where you galvanize your team.
Especially with fucking Utah, man. They have nothing to do. I mean, you're limited with your shots. Although, I could see Utah girls getting down. I don't know. just don't you think, like, kind of sheltered?
Never
closed.
Been to Utah. I don't really have any sort of feel on it, but I mean,
just a
everything that I've heard
view.
About Utah is it's tough to turn up. They make it harder.
Right, but I'm saying, though,
the laws.
You can still probably have a good time with a few lasses from Tinder or Bumble.
Couple snow bunnies?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm sure there's a lot of hot, like, snowboarder girls.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Absolutely there are.
So, we went way off topic, but what I did want to ask about when you mentioned Chris Middleton, so do you think Eric Bledsoe has supplanted Chris Middleton as the second best player on this team?
Second best player on this team. I'm not going to go that far. I'm not ready to do that yet.
How close are you to that take?
Pretty close.
I'm too.
Pretty close.
You should be screaming for
Brogdon's pretty fucking good too, though.
Yeah, but I think sometimes the problem with Brogdon is he's, for whatever reason, when him and Bledsoe, there's a difference when they go to the lane. Bledsoe has a higher propensity of making the shot when Brogdon sometimes can get thrown off and get blocked. He gets blocked a lot. I'm sure there's an advanced
I've noticed a
metric.
Lot of overlays from him lately, Malcolm.
Yeah.
Maybe where he's expecting contact and doesn't get as much. But I'll counter that by saying Bledsoe is a lot more prone to a turnover.
Yeah.
In the, you know, he likes to drive into five guys.
Yes.
And then either get stripped or get caught midair and just throws it to, you know, right into somebody's stomach on the other team.
Yeah, Bledsoe's mental capacity isn't as strong as Chris Middleton's or Malcolm Brogdon. But I will say this.
I think the term you're looking for is IQ, basketball
yeah,
IQ.
Whatever. And the other part about where I probably am with you, where I'm like teetering and I can't make a full commitment on it, is Brogdon and Middleton, I would much rather have shooting the ball in the final 3 minutes of the game than Bledsoe. Bledsoe is probably fourth on the list of guys I'd want shooting. And he might be fifth because it goes Giannis, it goes Middleton, it goes Brogdon. Middleton and Giannis are 1-2, and it's close.
So you mean you want the ball in his hands?
Yes. I'm saying ball in hands, who's taking the last shot, and Brogdon's—
Because we saw Giannis's last second shot against the Knicks. That didn't go very well.
Right, and Brogdon has made so many—like, people kind of forget—
he cannot shoot.
Yes, and people have not talked—I don't know if people talk enough about it, but, like— Malcolm Brogdon is a really good clutch shooter.
Yeah.
Malcolm Brogdon loves the big moment. So does Chris Middleton. Both those guys do.
Brogdon is very good at when he's got an open three in a clutch moment, it's going in.
Right, exactly.
I don't necessarily love it where he's got to create off the dribble in a late second because he just doesn't have the explosiveness to make something happen, whereas Brogdon does. I mean, they're two different players. So that's why, you know, now you're starting to hear a lot of stuff too about I've heard a couple topics recently just about what to do in the offseason with these guys. And I think
we're too early.
Yeah.
I think it's just fine.
Right now everybody wants Middleton gone.
Keep Bledsoe.
But people are so scared about the numbers you keep hearing about Middleton, and it's just like I don't think he's getting $30 million a year.
No, I don't
no team is that stupid.
I don't think so.
He's a nice player, but like no more than 25.
I think it's going to really be a Ted Thompson-like situation where...
Yeah, you got to keep him.
Where it'll be like, we're going to give you this much money. It is 25 or 26 a year.
Yep.
Good luck.
What do you want
to
do?
Yeah, try to find something better.
Shit or get off the pot.
If you find something better, if a bad team like the Kings or the Knicks or somebody's going to give you 30, you know, $32 million, go ahead. Go on.
Yeah, I think absolutely have to keep Brook Lopez.
Yeah,
but he's not. You should be able to get him for 3 for $30.
But like I said, let's not even talk about this right now.
Right.
This is if we were the Bucks were tanking, maybe, but no. So, and you know, moving and shifting gears.
It's just interesting because they all complement each other very well. The whole starting lineup.
Right. Before we talk about the Packers, anything that's on your mind, worrisome wise, where you're like, yeah, I'm a little scared about the Bucks.
I mean, how much time do you have?
Well, give me your number one.
Well, we didn't even talk about the trade at all.
Oh, we didn't.
And,
you're right.
The one that comes to mind is when I said to you guys today is I think Jason Smith stinks. Well, but I guess that's not too much of a surprise. But
he's a big body.
It kind of stinks to like watch him play for 1 minute in a garbage game and be like, man, this guy's not that good.
Well, you never know when a guy will have a moment. I think it's just just to have a big body, right? It's just to have a guy who can really add some girth and add some weight because Thonmaker is not that. And he's 7 foot. He's 240. He's a big dude. And you
I guess my point is Thon Maker is probably still your backup center.
Oh, 100%.
I didn't think it was going to be.
No, and I thought that was going to be the case. I think Jason Smith.
Well, they're trying to trade Thon probably too. So
are they? You think Thon's on the block?
I mean, it doesn't really help the team, so.
I don't know. I don't know if you'd give up on Thon this early. You're ready. That's fine. I'm still...
Just don't see it anymore. Sorry.
That's fine. I just think he needs...
I don't know what he does other than stands in the corner and shoots threes.
Right, and I think he just needs more time with Bud, and I think that they, you know, we've seen it a little bit with Sterling Brown, and Sterling Brown has more of the potential than...
Yeah, but I saw more from day one out of Sterling Brown than I have.
Yeah, but you're taking out of the consideration that Thon Maker was an extremely raw talent, that he had a lot of the Giannis worries that a lot of it did, and... Looking back on it, should the Bucks have drafted Thon? No, they should have drafted Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah.
I mean, he guy's a fucking awesome player.
He is.
And he was drafted right after him. But Johnny Hams, that's not a Johnny Hams player.
No.
So that's
too short of arms.
Too short of arms, not bulky. Like, that's just not John Ham. He's going to draft Bol Bol. We all know this. That's a lot.
Even though he's already got Mo Bamba and Jonathan Isaac.
Exactly.
Who's longer than long.
Exactly. That's whatever. But. The thing is like, I think the trade was just fine because at the end of the day, no matter what, here's what you did. You cleared $38 million fucking dollars out of your account.
Mm-hmm.
You've cleared that money. And the picks that you have are so heavily protected, and it's so the Bucks have like a way to get they are going to have a first round pick no matter what at some point. And it's Phoenix, and it's really weird on how it's all broken down.
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
I don't think they're gonna have one next year.
Probably not.
But just get rid of it. I mean, let's get to it, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Get it over with.
Do you need it? And you're gonna be picking in the 25 to 30 range, hopefully. And we've already talked about that range in the draft as a crapshoot. And if you do a Wikipedia rabbit hole, I recommend you to do this. Is to go through like the last 10 drafts and look at, playoff teams and who they drafted in the, anywhere from 24 on. You'll find a few diamonds in the rough, but most of the time it's like, oh, fuck, this guy played for 2 years. This guy played for four. This guy's in the G League still. Like, it's not a lock. So I'm fine with it. I'll be interested to see what George Hill can contribute to the team.
Yeah.
I did also think it was a hilarious troll move that Badger fans got excited for at least
half an hour
that Sam Decker was coming to the Bucks, and then he didn't. And at that point,
I was a little bummed because I'm still rooting for Sam Decker.
I am too. I like Sam. I've noted he's one of my favorite Badger players to watch. Because I love that he didn't put up with Bo Ryan's shit, and I appreciated that out of Sam Decker.
Yeah, that is true. He's been hurt or buried everywhere he's gone. So
right,
I mean,
exactly. It's not his fault he married a Lannister. You don't get that joke. It's fine. It's okay. It's just you're take it easy.
Right.
All right. We've went 30.
We got a roll,
Mitch. Yeah. No, but I wanted to do that Bucks deep dive, and I know that the Packers are hot. I get it, guys. But how many times can we talk about the same stuff? And it's not that we're not going in circles, but this is why we are better than a lot of other people, where we're going to give you something a little different, and we're going to give you something, a new wrinkle,
just like Joe Philbin.
When you're plugging into your local radio, there are some good eggs there, but they have to talk about the Packers. They are forced to because their audience wants to talk about the Packers. We wanted to talk about the Bucks in a deep dive sense for the last 3 weeks and haven't been able to. So we did it today. Hope you guys enjoy it. You know I'll talk about the Packers. And we'll talk about them for at least 10 minutes, 15 here. So we'll go. But to talk about the Packers. So yes, Joe Philbin comes in. And I don't want to say I was prophetic in what I said last week about this team is going to look less distracted. They're going to seem more dialed in. They're going to play better because that all happened. And people forgot that Matt Ryan is an awful quarterback in the cold weather because he did look chilly after that first drive. It was fine that first drive, and then it all went to shit. Packers get the first pick six in God knows how long. They played really well. Rodgers looked really strong. He looked sharp. He had 44 yards on the ground, 196 pass 196 yards passing.
Can't get over that 200-yard mark.
No, but he was efficient, and he had some nice passes to Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams. It really did seem like getting Cobb back is a big thing for the Packers. And now you have this, I wouldn't say
false. He was there against Arizona, right?
He was, but just first game back. So, and I think the idea, Philbin implemented more of a quicker passing scheme because that the team was, you know, beat up on the offensive line. And Lucas Patrick, I thought, played really well in backup duty. And
no one will ever know why Aaron Jones didn't play the first half.
Yeah. Aaron Jones got disciplined. Let's just, it wasn't talked about. I can't believe.
Talk about just such a bit, like.
I can't believe reporter.
What a weird season.
I can't believe no Big J. Not one of the Big J's in there wasn't like, so Joe, Aaron Jones, why didn't he play in the first quarter? Like, he definitely got too drunk at the
holiday
party. The
only thing I
can
think of is like.
There was the Packer holiday party on Thursday night. Let's put it together.
Yeah, okay, well, there's that, or, you know, I don't know, maybe. Philbin's like, all right, you little shit, you're mine now. You've been fucking around all season. You know,
I don't know. Well, he had
different points.
He had a good game. I mean, he had 17 carries, 79 yards. He had the 29-yard touchdown to the house. So the Packers are, and Aaron Jones did not play against the Chicago Bears. And now the Bears are the team, the vaunted Bears, this weekend. Bears fans are riding high. With their win against the Rams, and it's kind of weirdly setting up in a perfect situation for the Packers.
Are you putting an asterisk over that win?
Why?
Just because of the weather situation?
It was a nice night. Like, it was, but yes, could Jared Goff not play in the cold weather? No. And did I know that because I bet the Bears and I bet the money line? Yes. I saw that game all the way because that was a classic, but in a lot of ways, that works out for the Packers because if they lost that game, then this Packer game is sort of a must-win situation for the Bears. But it's still a must-win. They could clinch the division. There's motivation there, right? But they have that high. And now the bad man's coming. And Aaron Rodgers scares Bears fans. I was out, as I mentioned, I was out with a bunch of Marquette people who, correlation, they're Bears fans too. And one of them, I was talking to him. I was like, oh,
wow,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, amazing, right? I was talking to him, and I was like, so, you know, good season, whatever. And I go, you're still scared of Aaron Rodgers, right? And he goes, oh, yeah, terrified. And that's it. I mean, there is still he's kind of the bad man. And they have not been able to beat Aaron Rodgers. And, yes, that pass rush is scary. But the quick passing game, they're going to need to force turnovers. They will need to force turnovers to make it happen. And Mitchell, I mean, did not look right in that Rams game. People kind of ignore that Trubisky sucked. Like, Trubisky really was not good.
Not great, Bob.
And the fact of the matter is like, you have to take that in consideration. The Packers have been a little opportunistic on defense. Not necessarily a pit six varieties, but they've made some turnovers.
Well, Bashaud Breeland is going to
Chuck Woodson this thing, yeah, down
no
the stretch.
Kidding. I mean, people are loving him on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, and how could you not? I mean, he's played pretty well, I think, and he's done all right. He's a little grabby at times. And, you know,
you got to be.
And I see.
Aren't we all?
Yes. That's careful. You know, and Josh Jackson, I think, was a guy who, you know, I wanted to mention this, like, you watch it from the stands, like, he nearly picked off Ryan. Like, he just read an out route a little too late, and Sanu took it for a bunch of yards, but he had the right idea. So they have ball hawks. Like, Jair, Josh, Breland, all those guys can pick off the ball and make Mitch Trubisky's day a living hell. And that's how I think they could win this game. And now we're in a situation where all of a sudden there are memes of Dumb and Dumber. You're saying there's a chance because literally every break has went right for the Packers.
Oh, they're going to make the playoffs.
I love this. I love this.
They're going to. I've convinced myself that because it's not as far-fetched as you think.
No, it isn't. And like, I wrote about this yesterday.
You need, like, the Eagles or the Redskins to lose one game, right?
Yes.
And they play each other.
Do they? Still?
Yes, they do. Week 17.
Oh, okay. You're right. They do. And the Eagles are starting Josh Johnson at quarterback this week against the Jaguars.
The Redskins.
Redskins. What did I say?
Eagles.
Oh, sorry. But the Eagles have the Rams this week in Los Angeles.
Correct.
Where Dak Prescott just threw for 455 yards against
the Eagles
play
the Rams and the Texans.
Yeah.
And the Redskins.
They're done.
They're, so you can forget that.
Absolutely. And the team you have to worry about is the Vikings, but now the Vikings have themselves a little bit of drama. So
yes, they do.
The Vikings transferred all of the drama that went from the Packers, and it's went to the Vikings. This whole DeFilippo, Mike Zimmer kerfuffle. Now Mike Zimmer saying that he's going to have some input and he's going to have some say on the offensive play calls. Yikes. That is a big old yikes. And Warren Sharp, who is a great analyst, definitely follow him on Twitter, Sharp Football, explained how Minnesota running the ball more is not going to help them. Because they were doing well passing the ball. And DeFilippo, did I think DeFilippo was that good of a coordinator? No. And actually, I don't know. The jury's still out on that. Because guess what? Kirk Cousins is top 20 quarterback?
You like that?
Is he? He's not top 15, right?
You like that?
I don't know. I definitely fuck not top 10. Like 84 guaranteed million dollar 84 million guaranteed.
There's some SnowTap WI. It's a website content for you. Power rank the quarterbacks.
No, I'm not gonna do that. I do have a good blog in the.
I'm
in
sure
the,
that's out there somewhere.
I do have a good blog in the kicker about would the Vikings hire Mike McCarthy.
That's a good tease.
That, yeah, take a read in that. That something to ponder, because I don't know how many times who's going to want to work for Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer has went through 4 coordinators in 4 years, 6 years, whatever. He's went through.
He's no way. He's not been there 6 years.
No, you're right. But he's
your boy Brad Childress. There's somebody in between there too, wasn't
Leslie
there?
Leslie Frazier.
Could be.
I don't know. But anyways, he's went through coordinators like I've went through socks like that. That's how it is. Like, yeah. It's not like he is not this, like, he's just a ball buster. He's tough to work for. He's a micromanager. He thinks he knows everything. He thinks he has all the answers.
He wants that 3 yards in a cloud of dust football.
You bet. And now they
play. Like I said, Paul Johnson just retired.
Absolutely. So they
have flex bone.
So the Vikings have to lose 2 out of 3 more games. They have the Vikings, or they have the Dolphins, they have the Lions. They have the Bears.
Correct.
Now, what you really need is, and obviously, if this is all null and void, the Packers lose. But the Bears the Bears probably are still going to be fighting, and they don't want that 3 seed because they're going to want to play Los Angeles. They do not want to go to New Orleans. They have no interest. I think no one has an interest in going to play at New Orleans for a playoff game.
And New Orleans is leading. They're first, right?
They're first. They have the tiebreaker over the Rams. They're both 11-2. Then you have the idea of. The Lions
or the Bears are 10-3.
No, the Bears have 4 losses.
So 9-4.
9-4, yes.
Okay.
And the Cowboys are 8-5. So the Cowboys could still catch them in the third spot. So you need the Cowboys to kind of keep winning.
Cowboys are hotter than shit.
When are the Cowboys going to get annoying? Because like I was not saying I was okay with them.
Besides every day.
But they're not hateable right now. They aren't. Jerry Jones is
hateable.
You can
always hate Jerry Jones.
Okay, fair. I can get down with that. I don't really like Zeke Elliott that much. But Dak Prescott doesn't really bother me.
I have the proud fantasy owner of Zeke, so I'm a little biased.
Okay.
I don't hate him.
I like Amari Cooper. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
Dak Prescott's fine.
By the way, my Amari Cooper could have been a Packer. Now, granted, I would never want a first-round pick for Amari Cooper, but I'd better have been okay. Just saying. It's been good. So
I throw every goddamn pass to him. I'd have good numbers too.
Well, I mean, yeah, but it shows
like 10 catches, 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. Like that's just ridiculous.
It's amazing. It was amazing.
And how many people gave up on him in fantasy football?
I'm unbelievable. Anyway. I mean, same with Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is the ultimate cock.
This is why I don't make trades.
Okay. You tell yourself that.
You just wait it out.
Right. But yeah, so back to the Viking scenarios. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's a more losable game, the Dolphins or the Lions. I mean, the Dolphins have been bad on the road. They're 1-5, kind of going into a huge letdown situation after winning an amazing game, but they still are fighting for their playoff life. So, you know,
they're a solid team.
And Vikings are going to come off a short week. And
I'll say it again, the Vikings lost to the Bills at home. So
also too, the fact that the Dolphins are 8-point dogs against the Vikings is ridiculous. And I look forward to betting on
Vegas didn't
on Miami.
Watch that Monday night game.
No. That was actually, I think, before the Monday night game, so I'd be interested to see.
Damn, they put those lines out early.
Yeah. I'm sure people piled on. I bet it lines up around 6, 5.5, which should actually be okay. I think that's kind of fair. And then you have the Lions, who have been one of the more weirder teams in football all year, and they've played really well at home. And they've you know, kept the Rams close. They beat Carolina.
Is that game in Detroit?
It's in Detroit, yeah.
Okay.
So there's some opportunity. There's some Nate Poole moments that could happen. And, yeah, if they make the playoffs, I don't know. Jason Wilde was reporting that he thinks Joel Philbin might keep the job. That's interesting, to say the least. I don't know. I don't know what to think of that. To me, that just feels like we're just going to just do this Mike Sherman thing all over again. Like, that just feels like Mike Sherman. Now, granted, Mike Sherman wasn't a hire within, but he was a guy that sort of Brett Favre was able to just do whatever the fuck he wanted.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is what I would see with Aaron Rodgers. And now, Mike Sherman was a good coach. He was bad. He was a fucking awful GM.
Yeah.
So people forget that. People
he did both. So
yeah, exactly. But people,
that's always fucked.
But people forget.
That never works.
People forget that. And people like immediately think that Mike Sherman was a bad coach because of the narrative and everything there. And a lot of that's true about him getting run over. But he was a good coach. Yeah. He did get his players to win. But he just was a shitty GM.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I guess the only situation that works is Belichick.
Right, exactly.
I mean,
Mike Holmgren did it for a while with Seattle. I mean, he got him to a Super Bowl. I mean, and yeah, so it works out every now and again, but it's not a given at all. So, as for a prediction, you know what? Fuck it. I think the Packers are going to win. I think it's going to be a 20-17 game. I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah.
It's going to be we have a great NFL slate. We have Packers, Bears, Patriots, Steelers, Eagles, Rams, Saints, Panthers on Monday night.
Nice.
What more do you want?
Yeah.
And Chiefs, Chargers on Thursday and Saturday football?
Yeah, you have that starting this week.
Oh, that's great.
I'm going to go 23-20 Bears.
Okay.
Before you make fun of me for saying the Packers are going to make the playoffs.
No, I know.
That doesn't mean that, you know. No, that's what's going to happen.
No, I get what you're saying, because you do this. You sometimes can read the tea leaves like this is a thing. And I will say that it makes it more interesting for us from like a blog perspective if the Packers lose, because then the debates are, well, do you rest Rodgers? Do you sit him? Do you just, you know, I wouldn't say lose out. You could probably, even without Rodgers, beat the Jets, because I think the Jets would be doing the same thing. But that becomes a whole other story.
The Jets will be about as interested as the Falcons were.
Yeah, Falcons look cold, and should be a great game between the Packers and Bears, though. I think it's going to be awesome. I just don't think Mitch Trubisky's right, and I think the turnovers are going to get to them, and the Packers will get some short fields.
Who's Sunday night? Sorry.
Eagles-Rams.
Okay. So, ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mitch likes that.
Fucking Eagles end up winning that game. Could you imagine?
Oh, that would be tragic. All right, so how much time we got? We're probably way
We
off.
Are looking at probably just, yeah.
Oh, we got a little time. So the hot stoves.
I'll give you 9 minutes.
The hot stove's rolling. I haven't seen anything recently. The Brewers were apparently in on Corey Kluber. They've been in on literally every pitcher. They were talking to Wilson Ramos. There's been some little things. Wilson Ramos is a great hitting catcher. He's decent
defensive.
Yeah, defensive. That's where I was getting. I'm sorry. I was pulling on McKelvey as I was doing this. But the problem is, too, is that he's injury prone more than any catcher that's out there in the market. So Ramos would be a definite offensive upgrade, but from an injury perspective, you'd have to be a little concerned about that.
Yeah.
You have to manage that the right way.
Yeah, no question about it. I don't see much here. Wade Miley thinks he's getting a multi-year deal.
And also,
a little, you know.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And also they really, and
probably
also
isn't coming here.
It's interesting that David Stearns was surprised that Troy Tulowitzki getting let go and the Jays eating that contract. And there's rumors that Tulo's in the best shape of his life. You always hear that though. And there is some thought,
it's that
though,
time of year.
Oh, totally. There is some thought, though, that Tulo might want to stay in the Bay Area. He's a Bay Area guy. He might be a fit for the Oakland Athletics, who need a second baseman.
Isn't he a shortstop?
He might be willing to play second base now that he's a little older. And his
who's that? Marcus Simeon is their shortstop already?
Correct.
Who's pretty decent?
Yes. And I think they don't think that Jed Lowry will sign back
third
for the
base?
Team. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure he's open to either. But they have Matt Chapman, who's like a
good brother. Yeah, true.
like Matt Chapman a lot. He's a good player. So we'll see. I don't really, you know, winter meetings are tough, right? You don't want to make too much of it. I mean, the only big deal that's went down is McCutcheon, which was a crazy amount of money, I think.
Yeah, 3 years for $50 million.
Yeah, I don't get that. Baseball
money, that's not like...
Not terrible, you're right. But
I mean, it's not unheard of.
But would you really give Andrew McCutcheon an aging outfielder?
Doug Melvin would give that contract.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a Jeffrey Hammonds deal. would you give that money to a guy who is a set corner outfielder who's maybe hitting 25 home runs? I mean, he's getting on base a bunch.
Are you talking about McCutcheon?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say the Brewers, no, we don't need an outfielder.
Well, right, yeah.
Maybe, you know, it depends. If we needed a guy, you know, I think Philly's desperate to start winning.
They want to win.
So
yeah, exactly. They had a taste, and then they fell out. The bottom fell out. Now they're like, all right, we're all in, and we're gonna spend stupid money.
They're gonna try to get some veterans probably, and maybe get Bryce Harper. They're probably gonna put there.
Right.
Machado. I don't know why they would, even though because they just got Segura.
Yeah, they probably will be out on Machado. So speaking of Machado, a couple things I covered on Daily Tap, but we can ask you.
The White Sox is wild. The White, if that's what you're getting at.
No, I was going to ask you about Plesac saying the Brewers were a dark horse for Machado, and now Plesac kind of knows.
Do you think they're the mystery team?
I don't know. Well, apparently, Anastasio didn't go to Vegas. He doesn't go to winter meetings. So I mean, there was a mystery team owner for Bryce Harper. I don't think there was one for Machado. Maybe. I don't know. I mean,
I forgot who tweeted it, but I saw one that it was like the White Sox, the Yankees, and maybe the Phillies. And then there was the inevitable mystery team that you always hear in baseball.
The amount of PR that the Brewers would have to do for Manny Machado would be absolutely fucking absurd. I mean, I guarantee you. Their PR, social, marketing, all those men and women are just like, please don't fucking sign him. Just don't. Like, we don't want to deal with this. Like, it's going to be bad. It would be our, like I said on the podcast, it'd be our very own Jack Parkman. It would be, that would be how it would be. I think the wound is too fresh right now. I think I've said I want Machado to stay in the National League to keep the rivalry going because.
I'm just trying to think of how people would react to that. I don't know. I mean. If you come here, I mean, you're one of us then.
Right,
I mean,
exactly. I could spin Manny Machado as a positive. Well,
absolutely. 100%.
He's a great fucking player.
Yeah, if you're hitting 300, nobody's going to care.
And I can argue that the Brewers culture would fit a lot of the things Manny Machado is about. I think just he would really adapt well with the strong Latin culture that is with the Brewers. And I think that's an underrated aspect of their team.
Yeah.
Do you also agree that I wrote this, and you may agree, you may disagree, that if the Brewers, you know, have the surplus of outfielders that interest the Indians, that Trevor Bauer is probably more logical than Corey Kluber. Just because I think like a guy like Kluber, you need like,
something about Kluber just scares me.
Interesting.
I don't know. I don't have his numbers in front of me, but I just feel like he's not getting younger.
Yeah, and he wasn't that great of a postseason pitcher, and you could argue
he wasn't that great last year, was
you
he?
Could argue that Bauer has more upside that if you were just going on upside alone. That Bauer, he's an interesting clubhouse guy for sure. He definitely has some takes and definitely is a little immature. But and you could argue that that plays or doesn't play in Milwaukee. I argued it does. I don't know. I just think we're all shitheads here, and that's I said that yesterday. And I was like, I think it's because we just drink all the time. So I'm like, yeah, kind of acted like a shithead last night, and I think everyone can relate. And we can do it with our athletes too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. They don't have anybody like that really.
No.
I was going to make a hater joke in there somewhere, but I don't know. He's too quiet of a dude to...
He was at Lambo this week wearing, obviously, like, just the flannel. I mean, why not?
He's got, like, some sort of outdoorsman
Stricken.
Company.
Yeah, Stricken. They could do some advertising. Mitch
him,
and I...
Him and George Hill could...
Mitch and I would do Stricken advertising. We don't hunt. Mitch used to hunt. We could get out there, shoot some deer. I'm psyched.
Yeah, I'm a...
A former hunter.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone as recently as... Like a year and a half ago.
Oh, really? I thought it was a long time ago since you've.
I went duck hunting.
Okay. See, I feel like duck hunting would be fun. Is duck hunting fun?
Significantly more fun than deer hunting.
Hell yeah. Duck hunting, like.
Deer hunting sucks.
Yeah.
Nobody likes deer hunting. They like going to deer camp. They like the idea of it.
Yeah.
It's like drinking, going out. It's like, I like the idea of going out. I like the idea of drinking. I just don't like it in practice. And I don't like the consequences.
Our friend Patrick got a deer on Thursday, so congrats to him.
Seen a deer.
He did. Got some deer.
Lord knows friend of the podcast, Josh, goes in the woods about every weekend and he can't seem to see a deer.
Josh is like cursed maybe because he goes so much that it's like, Could be. It's kind of like the thing where it's like you just.
Well, it's like beginner's luck. It's the opposite.
Exactly. It's, right. You just start doing it so much that
must
you
go,
like,
must get, go crazy.
You get the yips and you're like,
I mean, he likes doing it. So
hey, God whatever. Whatever floats your boat. So next week, we'll be back right before the Christmas holiday. We'll either be talking about Packers still in the playoff hunt or looking ahead to next season. We'll also chat about how the Bucks did on their Rust Trip Roadie.
The Rust Belt Roadie.
Rust Belt Roadie. Rust Trip Roadie. Rust Belt. Fuck. I fucked that up. I had the opportunity, and I screwed it. We'll see if the Brewers make any big moves and talk about whatever else under the sun there tickles Mitch and I's fancy. All right, take care, guys. Have yourself a good rest of the week. We'll talk to you on Daily Tap tomorrow. See ya.
See ya.